If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hosea chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 10 and 11 shortly, and then we're going to work our way through the book of Hosea once again, because last week was not enough. We need to dive back into the book of Hosea. As I was going through it again this week, I was like, man, Hosea, why is this so hard? But God is good. He is with us, and as we journey through these scriptures, my prayer today is that each of you would be encouraged, and encouraged to the tippity top of your head, right? I want you to know, just right off the bat, you are desperately loved. God is seeking after you, right? He often refers to in the scripture that those who seek him will find him. This is the posture of God's heart. He wants us to be geared to him. He wants our eyes to be focused on him. He wants our heart to be focused on him, but he is also seeking after us. Church, how good is God? Who are we that the creator of the heavens and the earth would seek after us? He is desperate for us. He loves us completely. And his eye is geared towards you. This morning, I want to open in prayer before we dive into these scriptures. And as we continue on in Heartstrong Season 9, this three-year journey that we have, I want to take a moment in prayer. But before I do that, I just want to especially thank our congregation. Francesca shared a little bit about it, where typically ordinations for Life Center have been done at LSB graduation, which is coming up soon, by the way. If you are graduating from LSB this year, year one, year two, or year three, we are so excited to celebrate with you. The first year class is amazing. But at grad, typically, as we're handing out diplomas and certificates, that is also the moment of ordination. But it truly is an honor to have been able to conduct that ceremony today for the new reverend in our midst. I'm going to say that as often as I can, by the way, just like all the time, like maybe like carve it into her desk or something. I don't know. It's going to be good. But for the reverend here today, it was especially meaningful to celebrate it here because God has been so faithful to our family in this place. And I want to thank you, congregation, for encouraging, believing, standing with, praying for. We feel your prayers. And I know that there are times where my jokes go completely over your head or just really aren't that funny, but you have so much grace for our family, and it is an honor to serve alongside of you. We truly consider it a blessing to be able to be a part of this church, given leadership roles, yes, but we truly are simply a part of the family, hungry to see where it is that God will lead us. And so from my family to yours, thank you, thank you, thank you for participating today. I know some of you are specifically here, either from other congregations in the city to celebrate with Cassie, and I thank you so much for that. Let us open today in a posture of thanks. And so, God, this morning to you and to you alone, may all the honor and all of the glory and all of the praise be placed. Lord, you are incredible. Thank you, God, for each person in this room who knows you, God. Lord, I thank you for the salvation that you freely offer. And for those today who are visiting or haven't made that declaration that you are King, as we sung about today, that's my King. God, I pray that that sentence would be something that would come afresh this morning in this room. For those that haven't seen your cross clearly or recognize, Lord, the power of the resurrection, the ability, Lord God, to, by confession of faith, have their sins forgiven and to be set free, Lord God, to have a fresh understanding of who they truly are and their purpose here on earth, Lord God, to run after you with everything that they have. Lord, I pray that you would do that today. God, continue to reveal yourself through scripture for us, Lord. God, I pray that you would challenge us today. Open our ears to hear what it is that you have to say. God, soften our hearts today. Lord, that we wouldn't come with any other expectation this morning than to see you clearly, than to have an opportunity to worship you, God, in one accord. This is the desire of our heart. Lord, would you be Lord over Life Center today? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Last week, we ended in an intentional place. Also, it was enough for last week. So this morning, we're going to pick up and continue through the book of Hosea. It is not an easy book, but as we have said, the entire time that we've been journeying through Becoming Heartstrong, God sent us his word so that he could reveal himself to his children. Right? When you're reading through God's word, there's a lot of times where we'll go to the Bible and we'll ask God, God, what do you want to say to me today? Right? You've been there? God, I really need something from you. And while that's not a wrong approach, we also can't allow that to be the epitome of why we go to God's word. God can speak to you through his word. Hallelujah. Anyone in this room, you've been reading, and even though it's in black and white and sometimes red, the words just jump off the page. The amount of times over the last 3 years where I'm reading through the Bible, and I've read through this book multiple times, and I'm reading through with everyone, and I'm like, I had no idea that that was in there. Like, where has this verse been all my life? Right? And you just feel God speak to you in that moment. This is the reality of Scripture, that yes, God can speak to us because he is a holy God and he loves you so, so much. But the true purpose of Scripture is for him to reveal himself. Church, he wants you to know who he is. Not just that he loves you, but he wants you to have a full understanding of who he is. And the book of Hosea does this for us today. It reveals an incredible, fresh understanding of God. An understanding that can be hard to wrestle with, but as we wrestle, church, it's beautiful. When I tell you that God is love, I want you this morning, if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down, circle it, underline it, maybe shade it in bold. Don't do it in bubble letters if you're like me, because then you can't probably read it. But I want you, listen, you laugh, but not as hard as you should. This past week, Cassie, for her birthday, instructed us. She said, listen, all I want from you guys is homemade cards. And so me and the boys, we put in work. It was amazing. Miles is drawing these incredible flowers. And Sawyer wrote on her 40th birthday, 40 different things that he loves about his mom. Right? Right? And I gave Cassie, you can talk to him afterwards, like, well done, young man, well done. And I gave to Cassie two cards. One of them on the front was a snowman. Why? Because I can draw three circles. Another one on the front was a star, and inside the car I said, Cassie, you're our shining star. It was this beautiful, just cacophony of creativity. It was amazing. And Cass held up all six of the cards, and she said, guys, I want you to choose out the ones that your father made. And I'll be honest, when she held them up, I was like, man, how did they ever pass me an art past third grade, right? Because it looked like we had an extra younger child in the family, but it was me. And so if you're here this morning and you're writing the word love, right, just write it so you can read it. But what I want you to understand is that when we say that God is love, it's not your definition of love. Come on. When we say that God is love, I don't want you to place on God how you've seen love in the past. Right? I don't want you to place on God maybe even the love that others have shown to you. Because while if it is a good love, it can point us towards God, it is still a pale imitation. And church, I want to speak this morning over each and every one of you. If you are here this morning and someone has used love to defend an action that is not of the Lord, I want to encourage you that that love is not what God wants to tell you today. Right? And so we don't want to approach the understanding of God is love simply with what we've seen or what we know. What I want you to do is I want you to search Scripture for who God says that he is. And that is his definition of love. Oh, you can all go home. Thank you. Right? Because this is important, church, in our process. Oh, this isn't even in my notes. I have 3 pages. We'll see. Okay, this is like in our process of wrestling through our revelation of who God is and wanting to get to know him more. What we typically do is then we say, okay, now, God, I understand you. God, now I get it. And he would say, really? You understand the unknowable? Oh, right, what a bar. Okay, God, we hear you. Right, you understand the unknowable? No, what you have done is you have simply comprehended. And when Jesus is talking to his disciples, we don't often do this, but when Jesus is talking to his disciples, every right understanding that they have of God, do you know what he says? It was the Holy Spirit that revealed that to you. Right? It's like this inner working of who he is in our lives. Right? We attribute it to our own understanding. How foolish we are to say, now we understand, right? And we see that there is an extent and a limitation to the human intellect. Why? Because God is not us. His ways are not our ways. He is not a man. He is the Lord. He is the creator. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And so as we wrestle through Hosea and we see God's love in action, I want you to remember it's not our understanding of love that we need to attribute to God. It is his definition and his revelation that we have to wrestle through. He is love. He is in all the ways that he explains it. Ooh, okay. Hosea chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. This is where we stopped last week. Yet the number of children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Last week, as we described Hosea and Gomer's relationship, we said that Gomer was a representation of Israel and Hosea's representation of the Lord. And as they were journeying through the relationship, Gomer had many children, not with Hosea, but still within the confines of marriage. Gomer ended up having many children, and each time one of those children would be named something, a conviction and an accusation that God was bringing to the Israelite people. But in Hosea 1, verses 10 to 11, God says, in that place of disobedience, in that place of a wandering eye, in that place where I am not found, I will meet them. Hallelujah. In the place where we deserve no mercy. And not just us in this room. This is a message to humanity. This is a message to, at this time, the Israelite people, those who were called by the name of the Lord. Today we know that the Holy Spirit is on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move and he is calling to every nation and every tongue. He wants to be known. But in that place where we deserve no mercy, being known as not God's people, God meets them there. Church, aren't you so excited this morning to have that revelation that God does not love the deserving, that God does not love the perfect, that God does not simply love the just and the righteous, but he will meet every one of his children right where they are. We've read the names last week. Do you recall the names of those children? Jezreel, which means I will punish. The next child, name them no mercy. The next child, name them not my people. God is never and has never been content to simply leave us where we are. Instead, he meets us right where we need him. Hosea chapter 2, verse 1. God continues to speak to his prophet and he says, say to your brothers, you are my people. No matter where it is that you find yourself or what name has been spoken over you, God speaks in behind these words and says, you are my people. And to your sisters, speak this word, you have received mercy. After listing all of the ways that Gomer's behavior has been reflective of Israel's behavior towards God, and it's brutally honest in its accuracy and description, we again see God is not limited by our limitations. Hallelujah. He is not simply like us. He is so much more. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14, 21 to 23 reads this way. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And in that day, I will answer, declares the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth, and the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil, and they shall answer Jezreel, and I will sow her for myself in the land. And I will have mercy on no mercy, saith the Lord. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. Gomer is a reflection of Israel, a reflection of us when we choose flesh over holiness. Gomer continually depicts that Israel is running after anything other than her husband, as Israel is running after everything other than their God. Hosea, on the other hand, reflects the Lord, an unyielding ability to run after his bride. And the Lord said to me, Hosea chapter 3, verse 1, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes and love cakes of raisins. I love how God puts that, don't you? Anyone here ever bit into a cookie? Right? It's supposed to be chocolate chips. You know it's supposed to be chocolate chips. And it's raisins, right? This is what God is talking about. God is saying, stop fooling people with cakes of raisins. You have no idea how long I've been, all week I was like, hallelujah, right? It was one of the, how did I not see that before, right? I was like, where's this verse been all my lives? Get the chocolate chips in there, people. What are we doing? Okay. But God is speaking to his people. He's speaking to Hosea. He says, go, continue to run after her. Hosea not only sharing these words with his people, but then having to live it out. What a challenge. What a calling that Hosea had to not only deliver verbal recognition of what God was speaking, but to also have his life demonstrate to all of those who were watching the passion and the compassion that God has for his people. Going deeper into how God loves beyond our limitations, there are two standalone truths in this book that I want us to see in people's encounter with Jesus. First, God's capacity to love us is greater than ours to sin against him. Hallelujah. God's capacity to love us is greater than ours to sin against him. Our continued surprise has been placed as this promise. While we see God's wrath in the words of the prophets, there is a deeper love that we cannot miss. Hosea 11 verse 9 puts it this way, I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man. Hallelujah. The Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. Or as we read in Romans, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. The second thing that I want us to pull from this incredible book today is that forgiveness and freedom are not the same thing. While God runs after us, and church, if you're here today and you know the name of Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. What God did on the cross, right, as Jesus' blood was shed for us, it is done in his name. It is finished. Your sins are forgiven. Your shame wiped away for anyone who is willing to receive it. And God's redeeming love in that moment of forgiveness offers a different way for us to walk. Church, we are called to be free. Let's use a New Testament encounter of a woman caught in a Gomer situation meeting Jesus. And we can see God's capacity to love us is greater than ours to sin against him. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees then brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground, and as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who was without sin among you be the first to throw the stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. The Pharisees understood the law of Moses, the law of the prophets. And like Hosea, we've been reading that Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Jesus was the only one in that story who was actually able to pick up the stone, being sinless himself. And instead of condemnation, Jesus offers forgiveness. Identical to Hosea, Jesus meets this woman as Hosea meets Gomer in the place where she was. And now for our second standalone truth. Forgiven isn't the end of God's heart for us. So Jesus continued, and she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither then do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." For Jesus, forgiveness is for her to walk in freedom. And this is exactly why in John's gospel, the very next verse, after Jesus was saying this to her, reads this way. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Hallelujah. Church, this morning, let us be clear. Let us also posture our hearts to be soft in what the word of the Lord is saying here. Forgiveness received releases that restoration that God has for our souls. But then the Holy Spirit's desire is to walk with us, to speak to us, and to lead us away from darkness. Hallelujah. When we receive God's forgiveness, he never waters down his call to follow him. Forgiveness from Jesus, we receive. And freedom in Christ, we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the clarity. In the book of Hosea, there is not a single recorded instance of Gomer saying sorry. Not a single time in the midst of the amount of times that Hosea returns to Gomer, is it ever recorded that she was remorseful? Is it ever recorded that she apologized? Is it ever recorded that she took even a single step towards repentance, change, or restoration? She never affected God's love through Hosea, but the Bible's silence about her redemption shouts loud and clear. Hosea loved and pursued Gomer every time, all the time, and yet she never loved him back. In the words of Jesus, she chose to instead walk in the darkness and not the light. So moving opposite the way of Gomer, with Jesus, we are called to walk in the light. Church, this morning, I want to encourage you that God's desire is that you would be free. That we would lead a life that would look so different from the lives of those who don't know Jesus yet. That they would begin to taste and see that he is good. For he is good, amen? Church, he is so, so, so good. And not good in the way that we define it. Oh, come on. He is good according to his standard of goodness, which is the ultimate standard of goodness. Not your interpretation of good, not your friend's interpretation of good, not the smartest person on YouTube that you're allowing to speak into your life, not their interpretation of good. It is God who sets the standard. The goodness that he represents is holy and just and righteous and full of mercy. Church, God wants you to know this morning, he loves you. He loves you. over and over and over again. Gomer gave Hosea every reason to not pursue her. And yet continually God told Hosea, go back. Over and over and over again, Israel gave God the opportunity to change his mind. But just as today, if we keep our eyes open, as has always been the case, since the day that God set the rainbow in the sky, what did he say? I will never do that again. His pursuit for us is immeasurable. For what does it actually cost for God to send his own son to die in our place? Church, how much does he love you? He loves you beyond your understanding of the concept of love. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. On the third day, he raised his son from the dead so that on your proclamation of faith, not only could you be free, but also have eternal life. And through the recognition of what God has done for us, this is what he requires, that we turn from the darkness, that we turn from sin and instead say, God, I don't want to be anywhere that you are not. May my life reflect the love that you have shown me. Oh, come on. Church, may our lives reflect the grace and the humility, the servant attitude, the righteousness, the justice, the love, the kindness, the goodness, the self-control that God is in himself. May we not represent ourselves. May Life Center Kanata not be what this community knows. May it only be the name of Jesus. Because this building, these programs, the pastors that work here are not enough to set the sinner free. It is Christ and Christ alone. He is the one that pursues. He is the one that calls us, continue. Don't grow tired of doing good. Because God has not grown tired in pursuing you. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. No matter where you stand today, the book of Hosea would show us God is for you. He loves you with everything that he has, and his desire is that you would turn into his loving arms. And not just for the blessings, come on. Not just to one day make it to heaven, come on. God's desire is that we would turn with an understanding of who he is so that our lives could be transformed today, so that you can live free in a world that is shackled in fear and hopelessness, in a world that doesn't know what tomorrow is going to look like. And instead, we have been called to be ambassadors of the living God, to step into those places and say, there is hope. His name is Jesus. And he changed my world, for while I was yet a sinner, he called to me. And now he calls me righteous. And so we run after him with everything we have. And so this morning, I want to close in a very short and simple prayer, but one that if we allow the Holy Spirit to move into, will transform us forever. So you can close your eyes, find a place to center in with him, and let's pray this prayer together. Lord, search and show me my heart. Surface anything in me that displeases you. Jesus. Jesus. Lead me in your way. And give me the courage to trust in you. In Jesus' name this morning, we pray. Amen. 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 Church, you are loved. You are loved by the very one who knit you together in your mother's womb. And he has never stopped loving you. The question for us today and tomorrow and Tuesday is, will our love for him be what motivates our every day, our every thought, and our every action? This is the way of the Lord. Have a fantastic Sunday. I'm going to call Francesca up to close. Thank you again for joining us. As you leave today, we got a treat for you. Pastor Lori, thank you for joining us today. Reverend, right? Well done. Francesca.